And then much more ahead. At Tom Tancredo, the congressman in studio with us. He was here with Pete this morning. As I was telling you during the break, you are looking very much like a governor this morning.
Really?
I mean, you got the suit
Somebody
on,
got a
the
camera?
Tan, you're looking good. Yeah. No, you should.
Around the room.
Official portrait.
Behind the microphone, he's got he's got this incredible blue
nice.
Suit on.
Exactly. Why matching are you all dressed?
No, wait
Why do you have a tie on to come in and do but radio?
He keeps
on.
His
because I'm working still.
Oh, he is.
I got to wear the uniform.
You could put the tie on later.
No, wait a second. I say this all the time. I'm wearing a Triumph motorcycle shirt, right?
Well, and you know how I usually show up here. So you're right. It's because you figure, hey, it's radio. That's the one big nice thing about this, you know?
Yeah. But he's got a real job.
Well, you know who the cool guy is? The guy with the Triumph motor. That's how the billionaire dresses.
Yeah, exactly right.
The working guy dresses like I do, and the governor dresses like you do.
Yeah. Let me tell you
something. So we got it covered.
If I had that money,
village people.
If I had that money in the bank, I'd be heading to that elevator with mistletoe
you would
tied
not.
Right here
you
in the back
not.
Of my pants.
You
no,
not.
I
no,
would not.
You would buy
I'd
the
stay.
Station, and you'd do two shows a day, right?
Good idea.
That's
no.
what you would do.
And actually, isn't that a great question? What would you do if you had enough money not to do anything?
Mm-hmm.
I'd still go to work.
Oh, yeah.
I really would.
Yeah.
I think I'd still go to work.
What else would you do? I mean, it's crazy.
I mean,
I'm sure I'd run for office.
That's right.
Exactly. Well, but you'd be able to buy the office.
Well, that's it. We'd have a much easier time of it than, you know, than begging every day.
You'd be like Jared Polis of unlimited funds.
Oh, God.
Now, what would you do if you had... Yeah. Seriously, Danny, that's a great question.
I'm not sure I changed. I mean, we're coming not to get all serious on a Friday, but we all want to have the most impact we can for good, right? And have some fun along the way. And and that's what we all want to do. So I'd do the same thing I'm doing now, but just try to use that money to have a bigger, better impact.
I think I'd still ski.
Have some fun.
Yeah, I'd still ski.
What's wrong with some fun?
I'd still ski in Winter Park, which is a pretty blue-collar ski area. I don't think I'd be an Aspen or Vail guy.
Hey, Pete, sorry. Yeah. There's no such thing as a blue-collar ski area.
Well, there is. I mean, Loveland is. I mean, Loveland is, Arapahoe Basin is.
Loveland is.
I mean, Winter Park is too. You know, they're not Aspen and Vail and places like that Telluride. They're, park their cars and bring their lunches. I'm serious about why I love Winter Park, but right. I mean, it's like
it's all relative.
Now I know this is an infinitesimally small thing, but I thought of this a while back. I don't know. One day. What would I do if I really had, all the money I wanted? And there are a lot of things that immediately come. But let me tell you, now, you guys understand this when I say, wouldn't it be cool to have a brand new razor almost every single day?
That would be nice.
And you're not worried about, these things. Because have you seen the cost of razor blades?
Yeah.
I went into a Walgreens to buy some razor blades to refills. They're like $5 a piece, and they're in one of those things where you have to open. I mean, the person has to come and open the lock.
It's easier to get pot than a razor blade.
It is. And I'm thinking, what the heck happened here? I mean, in like nothing flat, these things went to like $5 a piece. So I'm thinking, it would be cool if I really had all the money. I would just never worry about the cost of a razor.
Yeah.
And it is amazing.
I mean, it's a stupid little thing, but
it's amazing how those things make your life so much better. I was thinking the same thing the other day. Hey, buy another 5 T-shirts. Buy another 5 pair of socks.
Yeah.
My life would be so much easier each day.
Yeah. You know
remember
I mean?
Malcolm
it's
Forbes.
But no, go get a car.
Malcolm Forbes went and he bought a bunch of Harley Davidsons and he and his friends went and rode China.
Oh my gosh.
I remember that before he died. And I thought, wow. Or or just stuff like that. If money wasn't an object, which probably always will be, we were raised a certain way and we'll die that way, but and I don't think, Danny, you're right. I don't think so much would change. You'd be on the cushion. I'd set up I'm working on a college fund for my grandson right now, that kind of stuff. But by and large, you'd still come to,
what car would you buy?
I don't know. I mean, I probably have 2 cars or 3 cars.
Yeah.
I'd have
I'd be Elvis Presley. I'd buy cars.
You'd buy a car for all
your
buddies.
Hey, here's one.
Give them to people.
You like this caddy? It's all yours,
but you
buddy.
Can only, what did your dad say? You can only ride one at a time,
Right.
I might collect some things that I think were cool, but you're absolutely right. That's very well said.
Yeah.
It's very well said.
Oh, yeah. I mean, now cars, I must tell you, that is something. If I really had all the dough, I love. I've been to several homes where the guy's a collector and has got all these incredible automobiles in his garage, you think, this is a museum, oh, God. Now, that I must tell you, that really does appeal like crazy. Yeah. I'd love to have a whole bunch of those.
I know guys that have great gun collections or guys that play like yourself, dedicated to golf, who
would
play, you know, they'll play every, they could play every day of the week if they,
golf
they could.
Golf is not dedicated to me.
So. Well, yeah. But yeah. Would you play, if you could, would you play every day?
For a little while, and then I'd get bored. You know,
you're right.
I mean, because that's the way we're wired. Almost everybody's wired. You want to have an impact. You want to make a difference. And so you get bored after a while.
Right,
you know, you could have.
I think you're right.
The guys who go the harem route and the golf every day and everything else, they get burned out after 20 or 30 years.
Yeah, I would set up a thing which said, you know what? I mean, really, if you had all the money. Now, this I've thought of many times. I would set up a thing and I'd say, I want to know everywhere George Soros, everybody he ever contributed to, because I'm going to match everything he does on the other side.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And,
yeah.
and every single one of these great, big, huge, liberal, progressive, you know, all the rich guys, the really rich guys that fund all these things, I want to find out every single one of them, and I would put all the money I could, I would match every dollar into just the opposite.
Wow.
I would give $1 billion to any anti-abortion group just to match what...
And I know you would do that, Tom Tancredo. Yeah. I know you would do that, but that's a...
I also like what you said, because skiing is a passion, but if you could, you know, but you wait all week and you work hard and you do everything so you can sneak off on Friday when all the work's done and go ski.
Right.
But just think if it was like, well, you can go ski anytime you want.
Yeah.
It might take an edge out of it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I think it would. It would. It would not be as much fun.
Or you can ride your motorcycle. Like, I have some friends that rode the Canadian Rockies that rode across Canada, and they said it's the most fabulous thing they've ever done on motorcycles. And I think, they had to get away from these good jobs to go do that. If you could just take off, would it be as much fun?
Well, think about it. Both of you guys, the things you care about, the things you want to accomplish, the reason you do radio and the reason you want to be governor, if you were a billionaire, you know, you could do so much more with that money than you could by holding the office of governor,
because
you could buy 10 governors.
That's it.
You know
what
I mean?
Right.
And unfortunately, the way the system works, that's kind of the reality, isn't it?
You could also just do, I mean, as I say, that there are so many worthy causes on our side that starve for money.
Yeah.
It always makes me so mad that we're the ones always blamed for being, you know, the rich guys and all that sort of thing. I guarantee you, I've never been rich. I don't ever expect to be rich. But I wish that I could help our side as much as the progressives help theirs. That's what I'd love to do.
We were talking about, you know, we've seen, all of us have seen so many very wealthy parents ruin the next generation of kids. Mm-hmm. And you were talking about Buffett yesterday. But Buffett never gave his kids money. Mm-hmm. And the one kid has an Emmy, and the kids have all been successful because the old man won't give them money.
Yeah.
And we could probably each name four or five people that we know.
That's another thing. Have you ever thought about what would you do with your kids? Now really and truly, if you had all the money, how would you treat that? Would you say to them, okay, each one of you get X number of dollars or whatever, and I guarantee you that would start something, and start something not good.
Because history's replete with it.
Oh, absolutely. Because even if you try to be as absolutely as fair as you can with them, there'd be some aspect of it that the one would say, well, you know, $1 million to my brother doesn't mean as, I mean, to him doesn't mean nearly as much as it means to me. It's not fair. You know, it sets up these incredible things, and you think about that all the time. You go, it's good I'm not rich.
Yeah.
But if you ever read The
makes
Life...
Makes it feel better.
Makes you feel better. It would just be a pain in the butt.
But Henry Ford had a son named Edsel Ford.
Yeah.
And Henry Ford destroyed Edsel, who was, for all intents and purposes, was probably a pretty good man, but his father destroyed him. We're talking about the Rockefellers after Ludlow. And, you know, there's all these generational things. And we were talking off air, America seems to now produce political families, Bushes, Clintons. We've been through the Kennedys. God knows we don't need another Kennedy. But how do you create these people? And or go to France and see one Louis after the next as king, and they wreck everything. I mean, they're czars or, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't know. That won't happen. You know, my kids are...
I don't think I'm ever going to have to worry. I know I won't have to worry about what to do with all this money.
You know, there is, a pretty cool undercurrent in Colorado, because obviously a lot of cable was centered here early and expanded from here, and a bunch of guys made a ton of money and everything else. But there is this vein of really generous philanthropists. I can never say that word. But guys and gals who started out in the trenches, laying cable, working hard, and not limited to cable, but then who have just given gazillions away in a smart way. I mean,
Malone's Denver has.
You got Malone, you got Ed McVaney, you got John Seaman,
John's perfect.
Gallagher. I mean, there are some different industries involved here and many others. But yeah, so I think our community's been cool that way. But I can tell you, there's no doubt in my mind you guys would be that way if tomorrow you win Powerball. You know, it would not be the Boyle's yacht and the Tancredo Estates. But I don't think any of us are going to have to worry about that.
But a big garage, I will tell you that. A big garage. A lot of really cool cars and some place where my wife would let me go smoke my cigar.
And I bet you guys would buy radio stations. I bet you guys would buy radio stations. And
that's the only way I'll get my show.
Yeah. That's right. Now, hey, speaking of getting your show, can I ask you one serious political question?
Sure.
Which we don't have to do. It's a Friday. Sure. We don't have to do that. But it's interesting because I've been waiting for the circular firing squad stuff to start in the GOP primary. I've been really happy that it hasn't really geared up because I think Hickenlooper is going to be tough to beat. He should be beaten. Any of you guys would be a much better governor than Hickenlooper. But I think that circular firing squad makes it tougher.
Yeah.
Now, it looks like the first punch was just thrown. But if Scott Guest, sorry, I think I read something yesterday. He put something out basically saying that you and Bob Beaupre have both lost. Well, he didn't say it that way. I guess he did.
Yes, he did.
Lost statewide races, he's won a statewide race.
Right.
And he elaborated on both of your statewide failures. Any response to that?
Well, I'll tell you, if you really want to look at that last race, the one he refers to for me anyway, that I, quote, lost, I've never been more proud of a race I've ever run, to tell you the truth, because we started out, we had 11 weeks... 11 weeks to run a race, which, by the way, my wife still thinks is the best campaign we've ever had. And we ran as a third-party candidate.
Yeah.
I get 37% of the vote. The Republican gets 11% of the vote.
Mm-hmm.
We raised $1.5 million in that amount of time. I must tell you, I was as proud of that as anything I've ever done. Yeah, it was a loss, but I'll tell you, the effort was worth it from my point of view, and I'm so proud of all the people that – I'll tell you what I love about our campaigns. I have over 10,000 individual donors.
Right.
Now, I will challenge Scott. I will challenge anybody to come anywhere near that.
Yeah.
Now, Bob will have more money. He will have more money than we have, and Hickenlooper will have more money. But none of them come close. Maybe a 1,000 contributors, 2,000 at the end of the day, 10,000.
Yeah.
Now ours are $67 a piece. That's the average.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, Danny, I am so damn proud of these people and of this kind of a campaign. And you know, winning and losing, it's part of this. That's one coin. It's got two sides to it, and you got to be ready and willing to accept the possibility that it'll come up tails.
I thought Scott's shot on you, and I like Scott, but I thought his shot on you was very unfair, and I thought his shot on Bob was very unfair, and here's why. I agree with you. I think it's the best race you ever ran, that race for governor. I think you did something very noble in trying to bail out, you know, a terrible situation, you know, created by the Scott McGinnis, Dan Mays mess.
Yeah.
And it's so interesting. People forget. I mean, you ran a very good race. And full disclosure, I think I contributed to your campaign. If I didn't, I meant to.
I know you have another chance.
That's good. I like that.
You have another chance.
But anyway, here's my point. You jumped into this mess.
Yeah.
And I remember there were national political experts on Election Day predicting you were going to win that race.
I remember it too. We were over at what restaurant over here? It was actually out in Aurora again for the event. And the TV was on, and I think it was Rasmussen on CNN. They said, "What's going to be the across the nation? What's going to be the big upset tonight?" Yeah. And he goes, "Well, our polls show that Tancredo is going to win this." Yeah. And I'm thinking, "What?" Yeah. I mean, because that's the first time that ever got that. But at the election day, we were actually tied or ahead of Hickenlooper.
Yeah.
The thing, what happened was, it didn't count the votes that are already in the bank.
Right.
Early votes, people had already voted. And even when they asked them, they thought they were voting for the Republican, but they were voting for me, they thought.
Yeah. And honestly, Tom, I think in that race, if it had been under normal circumstances and you had just been the nominee, of the GOP, and you'd had the infrastructure intact from day one, et cetera, I think there's a real good chance you win that race.
I do, too. And what a wild time that would have been. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So it was a lot of fun, and I enjoy it, and I do not regret a single minute of it. So, Scott, I'll tell you, this is what happens. This is what we've tried to avoid. That's why I tell them all the time, let's not debate. And I'll tell you another thing. Scott, listen to me carefully here, because I told this to Brophy, too, and this is the truest thing I can tell you about politics. In a multi-candidate race, when one person attacks another, goes negative on another, both those candidates go down in polls. Mm. And because the votes go to another one of the people that are out there.
Because there's that other option.
That's another option. You get mad at the people who are attacking, and then you think, but you also get mad at the guy that's being attacked. And so it goes to number three or four. And you got to remember, this will not help you, Scott, I guarantee
and,
you.
In our lives, we've all seen this, where there's a husband or a wife who is cheating in a relationship. The third person goes to one or the other and tells Joe, Mary's cheating. Mary, Joe's cheating. At the end of the day, both of them hate the guy who comes
in. Right.
And that's what this is about.
And what's so interesting to me is Scott has so many positive things to talk about. He's won a statewide race.
Right.
And I think he's run a darn good office. So he's got a lot of positive things to talk about.
You bet.
I just thought it was unfortunate. And I think, like you, probably counterproductive for Scott to throw that punch. And the Bob Beaupre situation, in all fairness, I mean, he jumped into the toughest cycle for Republicans in my lifetime, that 2006, or maybe right after Watergate, but also 2006. And then the Holtzman thing just left him crippled, and he made a mistake or two. But I still think Bob brings a lot to the table. But
does.
I just hated to see this negative stuff start.
Remember, it was done to when Strickland ran. And they called him the lawyer lobbyist in the primaries. Yeah. Well, when it came
Ted,
time...
Ted Strickland.
No, Tom Strickland. Tom Strickland, not Ted.
Right.
But Tom,
exactly
who had been in the Brownstein firm, they call him the lawyer lobbyist.
Stuck. Yeah.
And that jacket was put on him by his Democratic opponent, so when the time comes when they're going to run, they call him a lawyer lobbyist, and he gets clipped.
That's right.
Tonight's our big one. We're going to be there for Tommy tonight.
You bet.
At the Stampede with Dog the Bounty Hunter at 5:30. And tomorrow's the big machine gun shoot.
Nobody has to wear a tie, so you can.
Nobody's allowed to wear a tie.
Either shooting machine guns.
Tonight.
And I'll tell you one thing about these Tancredo events, having been to a number of them when you were running for governor last time. They're fun.
Yeah,
they're fun. They're a good time.
They are.
Yeah,
good.
There's nothing,
a band?
Nothing stuffy about them.
So, you got a band?
I don't think so. Maybe a recording someplace.
No, it'll be a good time.
We got a karaoke machine, I hope.
We're singing tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a good
time. I'm in the wind. Have a good week. You look great, Dan.
Thank you.
All right, good. All right, buddy.
Guys look.
Have a good weekend. See you Saturday and Sunday.
Bye-bye. I got to run for governor if you're going to look that good. That might be good for my health. Holy cow. Tom Tancredo looking ready for the official portrait. Yeah, it's...